It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Podcast presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Friday edition of the show. We are going to talk about our final wide receiver and tight end rankings here today. Kyle, welcome. Good morning.
Joseph, the long wait is over, my friend.
For
Game of Thrones is back! Game of Thrones is back on Sunday, and I cannot contain myself. You know, we probably talked for 5 minutes before we started recording this show. I was just biting my tongue the entire time because I didn't want to blow that I was going to talk about this on the air. And I know you don't care, but there's so many people out there that do, Joe. There's so many people. Don't take my joy in this.
I would never. I'm so happy for you.
I'm happy for me too.
Just like it's six back. More episodes and then it's over.
Listen, you don't understand. They took like a two-year hiatus.
Yeah, no, I do understand because you've told me about it.
Who does that?
Why did they do it? It was just to get it.
Yeah, so apparently like each of the episodes, like the first two episodes are normal length and then the last four are like legit like hour and 30 minutes. So there was additional production quality and the special effects are like way ramped up now and they wanted to do it as big as possible on the way out, which I respect, but not at the expense of me wondering if I was going to die before I got to find out how Game of Thrones ended. And I should have known for a long time now how Game of Thrones ends, and I still don't. But I will start my journey of discovery with all of you except for Joe on Sunday night. So, Joe, we're not going to be able to record on Sunday night.
So is this is every Sunday night now for like 6 weeks?
Yeah, this is almost as annoying as like me trying to record and you won't because you have Mets baseball to watch, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
What happens draft week? Does it come on Sunday night?
It does.
Okay.
Now we'll be in Charlotte, right?
Yeah, we'll be in Charlotte.
Yeah, so I will hole myself off in my room in your house.
Yeah.
And just watch it on my computer. I won't bother you, I promise.
Wow. I mean, we could put it on the big screen.
No.
It's a romantic experience that is best in alone?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Me and my laptop, and that's it.
All right. So wide receivers, tight ends, a lot of good ones this year.
Yeah.
We'll mirror yesterday's show. What do we do? Quarterbacks, running backs?
Yes, we did backs. Offensive backs.
These are pass catchers. Shall we start with wide receivers, sir?
Yeah, we shall. And you know what? You're going to lead off today because I've paid my dues of having lost the dueling mock drafts, and I led yesterday, so now you have to lead.
I wish I had the numbers. I think you went 3 out of 4 in the NFC South.
No, I don't care.
Well, I do because I wanted that margin.
I'm surprised you even put the polls out. So is it 20 to 12 then?
I think it's final 20-12, yeah.
Okay, so if I would have just swept one division that you swept instead of me, then we would have been tied. Solid.
Yeah, just completely rewrite the script and yep,
we would have been tied. I lost by four teams.
20-12, brother. That's a big margin.
But if you take four and swing them the other way, then it's tied. So I lost by four teams.
You know, if Lee Evans doesn't drop that ball from Joe Flacco, the Ravens go to the Super Bowl that year. I mean, what are we doing here? All right. Now, my number five wide receiver in the 2019 NFL draft class.
You're sick.
You would be dishing. No.
Go ahead. Your number five wide receiver is who? Come on.
I bet you do. What is that noise?
Okay, so I'm in my kitchen, and we've got these motion sensors set up for security system.
Man.
And apparently me moving my head 3 inches to the right was enough to get into the strike zone of the motion sensor.
You got your house on lockdown, man.
Yeah, man, I ain't messing around.
I can tell. You got that thing, your phone triggers when someone's at your front door. Don't rob Kyle Krabs. It's not going to end well for you. All right. Number five, I have A.J. Brown, wide receiver from Ole Miss.
Respect.
Respect as in it's the right spot, too high, too low, because there are some people that were a little mad at me because they thought A.J. Brown was a little low. I'm like, he's my fifth receiver. What do you want from me?
Right. That's about where he needs to be.
Right. I like his game. If I knew he could beat press coverage and play on the boundary, I think he could be higher on this list. Although I do like the other four receivers ahead of him a good bit as well. Really love his size, his ability to function as a big slot. He's really good after the catch, which was something I don't think I was surprising when I was watching his film, like when I was popping it on, like, oh, wow, this guy continues to rip off chunks after the catch. So I think he's going to really thrive in the middle of the field. Good hands, ball skills, route running's good. A.J. Brown's just going to be a solid player. I just don't know if he's going to be special, right? So is he ever going to be a real, like, number one guy that you funnel your passing game through? I don't know if he gives you that, but I think he'll be a top two option and be very productive.
Yeah. So wide receiver five for me is Hakeem Butler, Iowa State. There was a late push. He and A.J. Brown were very, very, very close together. And Hakeem Butler ended up actually taking that fifth spot from A.J. Brown. So A.J. Brown for me is wide receiver six. Butler, obviously playing above the rim is where he's most special. Big play guy down the field. Love his potential in the red zone as being a contested catch guy. Back shoulder throws, high point throws, 50-50 balls. Two areas of concern for Hakeem Butler for me. One is getting off press coverage on the boundary. The other is when he's square to the football, he doesn't always pick up that ball in flight particularly clean. So it's just going to be a matter of ironing those issues out. If he does that, I think he'll be perfectly fine. He's got a really high ceiling. I like him on the outside. I like him as a guy that can play down the field. Kind of has some Brandon Marshall vibes to his game as far as how physical and aggressive he is before the catch and after the catch. But just too much time right now being spent at the line of scrimmage against press. So speed that clock up, Keem, and you'll really get yourself to the next level as a football player.
My wide receiver four is Tyshon Debo Samuel, South Carolina. Good player, man. I love that he can win at every level of the field. Like, very detailed route runner, really good after the catch, wins in the air, has ball skills, uncovers quickly, wins after the catch. I mean, I just kind of think he does everything pretty well for you. And if I can get him in a timing-based offense where he's working the spots and you've got a receiver or a quarterback that's going to throw the football on schedule, man, I think he's going to be really, really, really productive. He kind of gives you that Golden Tate, DJ Moore type vibe, that type of player that's not necessarily the tallest or longest receiver but has a strong above-the-rim game and also wins after the catch. So I just think – I think you're going to get a multifaceted contributor here. He can help you in the return game. Just going to be a solid player, man. I think he'll be really productive. Definitely a top three option in terms of, right away, I think, in an NFL offense. He was restricted a lot by just crap quarterback play at South Carolina. He had his own injuries he dealt with. And so, obviously the quarterback play will be improved at the next level. But if he can stay healthy, man, I think he'll be a nice player.
Well, my wide receiver four is also Debo Samuel. I would be remiss to not talk about his special teams contributions. He is a kick returner, is very, very dynamic. I don't know, man. I keep seeing these mock drafts like Debo going in the 50s. I don't know. Like, as long as his medicals are clean, like top 40, top 45 should be a pretty realistic projection for Debo as far as he's super potent and super quick in short spaces. But he's slapped together really well. It's not like he's a frail body. He's 215 or something? 210, 215? So he's got a lot of thickness on his frame, too, that hopefully helps him stay healthy now that he's been able to kind of get over the hump with some of the injury issues that he's dealt with.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and it's only fitting that this important interruption is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Have you thought about what you're getting your loved one this year? Or maybe you want to give the gift of sweet-smelling Grundle Bliss to your partner. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Whether you're the only one who gets to see what's going on down there or you're one of many, do you, your partner, and everyone else a favor and introduce yourself to this revolutionary company. Manscaped just launched their brand new Perfect Package. Inside the Manscaped Perfect Package, you'll find their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which features skin-safe technology and will prevent you or your man from cutting his nuts. Speaking of smelling nice, let's be real. No one wants to carry around that locker room smell with them. That's why I am thankful for the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. These products keep your crotchal region from sweating, smelling, and sticking. The Perfect Package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep that junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to this new. Give the gift that will make your Valentine's Day spicy. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off and free shipping. Ladies, this is the perfect gift for you and your man, and men, your partner will thank you. Trust me, he will thank you. And guess who else will thank you? Your balls will thank you. 20% off and free shipping when you use the promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com.
My wide receiver three, Kelvin Harmon, North Carolina State. Man, I just really like his game. You know, he's a bigger bodied receiver, really kind of, I keep saying this, he's a power forward with blue chip, play strength. And I like his route running. You know, I think he's a technician as a route runner. I think he has good separation quickness. Maybe he didn't time all that well, but I'm comfortable with the way he gets in and out of his breaks. And he's one of those guys that really just does win at the catch point. Like you throw it to him in a spot, and you can just trust that his ball skills and his play strength and body control is going to take over. Love how well he blocks. You know, I don't necessarily think he'll be a great, you know, yards after catch guy, but he's going to, you know, he'll challenge tacklers with physicality and get the available yards. And I just think that he's going to be a mismatch in a lot of different ways, that he's just going to be able to out-muscle corners. But then again, I think you'd be remiss if you don't believe that he has enough separation quickness as well. So I think he's a true alpha profiles as an X receiver. So I like Kelvin Harmon. Wish he ran a little faster at the combine, but I still think he's going to be a really nice player at the next level.
Yeah, but you know what? It didn't surprise me that he ran slow, which is why he's my wide receiver three as well. Didn't hurt him at all to run 4.6 because I thought he was going to run high 4.5s.
I was hopeful.
Yeah, of course you're hopeful, but it wasn't one of those tests that I felt like I needed to go back to the tape and rewatch, because it's like, yeah, I can see that, you know, and it's just that he's just 4.6 and that's the way it is, but he'll be perfectly fine in that capacity because he is so good at the catch point, and he does have such great body control and ability to kind of work around defenders and uproot defenders and get himself some favorable space as he's tracking the football. So for me, Harmon, kind of same valuation that you had, Joe. I don't think his ceiling's especially high, but he can be a guy that you can run a lot of your possession concepts and routes through the middle of the field and back shoulder throws. He can win in those kinds of areas and be quite successful there. We're perfectly fine. 4.6 Kelvin Harmon, my wide receiver three. He is number 31 on my overall big board. So I got no problems late first round if you needed to go that way, but I don't think you'll see a wide receiver run like that early.
My number two receiver is Akeem Butler from Iowa State. I think you had a good summary of him, and the things that you like about him are easy to identify. He's big, he's athletic. He has crazy moments at the catch point where he just totally beasts dudes and adjusts to the football and has a ton of catch radius, and he extends his catch radius really well. Super productive. I like that you talked about just kind of how gradual he can be off the line of scrimmage at times. I think that can be taught, and I think he's got the athletic ability to really become a little bit more urgent getting into his route stems. And then the inconsistency at the catch point, why does he drop the football so much? And it's the frustrating part about the drops is that, like, he makes those highlight reel catches look so easy. And there's just times where he just, plucks the football with, unbelievable aggressiveness and just natural ability. Just gets his hands aligned and attacks it so aggressively. And then you're just like, dude, how the crap did you drop that ball? And then he kind of keeps doing it. So if he could clean up those two issues, I mean, he might be wide receiver one. I mean, I know that's one of those things that, like, yeah, you have to get better and that type of stuff.
What did you just get done saying to me, talking about the four teams?
Yeah.
You know, if.
Yeah, well, the difference is one's a correctable thing and the other one's not. So.
Got him.
Yeah, I don't know.
There it is.
I don't know. Quit moving your head, man. You're setting off the alarms in your house.
It was like Seinfeld with the cigar when he's sitting there in the chair, nodding his head, laughing. Yeah,
I bet it was. That's what I was doing, yeah. Jeez. So there you go. Wide receiver two, Akeem Butler.
I will not stand for the N'Keal Harry slander, Joe.
You should.
I won't do it.
Wide receiver seven. Yeah.
Seven?
Yeah.
What kind of grade do you have on N'Keal?
He's got a two. He's got a two.
Okay, now I can understand that because this wide receiver group is bonkers. I started laying out my big board in horizontal fashion. So if you're not familiar with that, it's tiers. So you've got reading from left to right, position by position, every top 10 player grade that I have, every first round grade that I have. And for wide receivers, it's a really funny image because you look at this image of it laid out with all these wide receivers laid out, and I legitimately have six wide receivers with round two grades plus Kelvin Harmon with an early two. Then I have seven wide receivers with a round three and seven wide receivers with a round four. It's a massive group in the middle of this year's draft as far as the talent. So that was one of the reasons why I felt compelled to say I didn't think we would see an early run on wide receivers because of the depth. Now, getting back to N'Keal Harry, I love his ceiling. He doesn't have a ton of separation on his film right now, but you could tell by the way he tested. You can tell when you watch him in the open field. He's a good enough athlete to get a lot better in these areas. And he is a guy that can play above the rim. He is a guy that has excellent concentration, excellent hands, win some contested 50-50 throws. He had that Odell Beckham catch against USC that my mind still cannot comprehend how it works. He tagged Justin Lane for a touchdown against Michigan State early in the season. He's got wins against quality competition. And just because he's not separating, like, I'm not going to knock him because I see the athletic potential be so much more. And he tested a lot more dynamic than what Kelvin Harmon did. So N'Keal Harry, for me, is a little bit of a ceiling projection. But I do have a first-round grade on N'Keal Harry, and I do think he can win in certain areas, as is right now, as far as fighting for 50-50 throws and back shoulder throws. He's very good in body control in those areas. So there's a lot of untapped potential for N'Keal Harry, but I'm not going to buy low on that potential because of what I've seen athletically.
Hear you. You're more comfortable than I am. I still like him though. Second round grade.
Apparently not.
Wide receiver seven.
I said wide receiver seven. Apparently not.
Second round grade, I'll tell you. DK Metcalf, wide receiver one. One of the just crazy to me that he's such a polarizing person to discuss in this year's class because I think he's so special. I mean, the blend of size, speed, strength. He's going to be a bully at the line of scrimmage. He's really nuanced with his releases. His length and his physical traits, he can dominate on alone, but he gives you some nuance there in terms of his route running and his ability to get off the ball. Everyone wants to talk about those agility scores. And I mean, you can go to tape and it's not something that really limited him, but just think about the different ways that wide receivers can win and make plays. And I've said this a lot, but like, the way that Mike Evans wins is different than the way that Julian Edelman wins. And the way that Julio Jones wins is different than the way Robert Woods wins. And so you have to keep in mind that there's so many different ways that wide receivers can be successful. And if your big concern with him is the hard horizontal in-breaking routes and out-breaking routes that are on the hard horizontal plane, and your concern there, just that's not everything. This guy is going to cross the face of corners, get leverage, get deep. No one can run with him and stay in pace. And I just, there's such a dominant physical skill set, and it showed up on the football field in the SEC with regularity. Now, do I wish that he was more productive and didn't have those injuries? Of course I do. But he was on pace to be every bit as productive as A.J. Brown in 2018, but he got injured. And so if you wanted me to get concerned about DK Metcalf, talk to me about a foot injury in 2016 that ended a season and a neck injury in 2018 that ended a season. That's the stuff that's going to get me concerned, not a bad three-cone in short shuttle time, especially when he's had historically great testing in every other area. So I just feel like he's got the highest ceiling of any offensive prospect in this year's class, and I take him in the top 10 all day long.
Preach, Joseph. Preach. My number 9 player, DK Metcalf, wide receiver 1. Now, we're doing really good on time relative to yesterday, so I'm going to skip my narrative on DK because we've talked a ton on DK. He's wide receiver 1. I'm going to read through my list, 1 through 36. I did 36 of these guys, and then I'll tell you who I'm going to pound the table for on day 3.
Okay.
Metcalf, Harry, Harmon, Samuel, and Butler, 1 through 5. A.J. Brown, 6. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, 7. Riley Ridley, 8. Marquise Brown, 9. Terry McLaurin, 10. McLaurin is the first third-round grade that I have. Paris Campbell, 11. Stanley Morgan Jr., 12. Andy Isabella, 13. Emmanuel Hall, 14. Penny Hart, 15. Anthony Ratliff-Williams, 16. David Sills, my first fourth-round grade, 17. Cody Thompson, 18. DeMarcus Lodge, 19. Anthony Johnson, 20. Jacoby Myers, 21. Antoine Wesley, 22. Mecole Hardman, 23. Darius Slayton, my first fifth-round grade, 24. Gary Jennings, 25. Terry Godwin, 26. Dylan Mitchell, 27. Hunter Renfrow, 28. Jalen Hurd, 29. Keyshawn Johnson, my first sixth-round grade, 30. Preston Williams, 31. Olamide Zaccheaus, 32. Miles Boykin, 33. Lil Jordan Humphrey, who's honestly a tight end, but that's okay. my first seventh-round grade, 34. Reggie White Jr. from Monmouth is 35. Felton Davis from Michigan State, 36. Give me Jacoby Myers, Joe. If I had to pick one of these fourth-round or later guys to stand on the table for, give me Jacoby Myers. He's smooth. He's a fairly big body. He knows how to navigate the middle of the field. And he's still growing into his role, right, like a former quarterback. So I really like his athletic potential. I like his hands. He's won some tough catches, some contested catches. And he's not a small guy in the slot, but he's a guy that can kind of take some of the ground and pound of working the middle of the field. And I thought he was a really reliable third down target for NC State this past year, and I just like what I saw there.
Yeah, what, he set the record for receptions in a season, broke Corey Holt's record from NC State there. All right, Kyle, you did 36. I did 41. 41 freaking receivers this year. I will rip through this quickly. 1, DK Metcalf. 2, Akeem Butler. 3, Kelvin Harmon. 4, Deebo Samuel. 5, A.J. Brown. 6, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. 7, N'Keal Harry. 8, Marquise Brown. 9, Paris Campbell. 10, Riley Ridley. 11, Terry McLaurin. 12, Emmanuel Hall. 13, Mecole Hardman. 14, Stanley Morgan Jr. 15, Hunter Renfrow. 16, Andy Isabella. 17, DeMarcus Lodge. 18, Miles Boykin. 19, Darius Slayton. 20, Gary Jennings Jr. 21, Cody Thompson. 22, Anthony Ratliff-Williams. 23, Anthony Johnson. 24, David Sills. 25, Jacoby Myers. 26, Jalen Hurd. 27, Johnny Dixon. 28, Jazz Ferguson. 29, Deontay Johnson. 30, Dylan Mitchell. 31, Antoine Wesley. 32, Travis Fulgham. 33, Keelan Doss. 34, Jamal Custis. 35, Keyshawn Johnson. 36, Olamide Zaccheaus, 37, Penny Hart, 38, Greg Dortch, 39, Terry Godwin, 40, Preston Williams, y'all lied to me about him, 41, Tyree Brady from Marshall.
What the hell happened to Penny Hart?
What's exciting about Penny Hart?
Oh my goodness, he was phenomenal at the Senior Bowl, man.
He sure was, and then I watched his game tape and I lost my vibe.
His game tape was perfectly fine, and he is a saint. How dare you?
Really? I didn't know you were like a huge Penny Hart guy.
I mean, I got it. He's 15 for me, wide receiver 15. I think he's a winner in the slot as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
But he has to play in the slot.
Yes, he does. Who am I pounding the table for? It has to be a day 3 grade, right?
Correct. So fourth round grade or later. Please, man, say Cody Thompson.
No. I'm going to go a little bit deeper. I'm going to go with Johnny Dixon from Ohio State. Kind of a late bloomer, big-time recruit to Ohio State. came on the last couple of years for them. And I love that he gives you that speed dynamic, but he also gives you ball skills. It's funny, as I got deeper into this class, I saw a lot of guys that have great time speed, but didn't know how to find the football down the field. And I think you get that from Johnny Dixon. And, you know, he's juiced up guy. He can win after the catch. He's a good return guy. He's good covering kicks. And I know we've talked a lot about these Ohio State receivers. It's always Terry McLaurin and Paris Campbell. But I think that that Johnny Dixon is a player that has a lot of appeal on day three. He's funny. He's like a freelance type of route runner where he did some pretty unorthodox things, but he always kind of got to his spot. So there's some detail and technique that he's going to have to learn as a route runner, but he's got all the physical ability, I think, to be a really good separator at the next level. So if you could be a little bit patient, I think you get a productive player here in Johnny Dixon somewhere in the middle of day three.
Okay, Joseph, we've reached a critical mass here.
Okay.
We're 23 minutes into the pod, and we just finished wide receivers.
Okay.
I thought we were in good shape. We were like 17 minutes kind of rounding up DK. So let's book it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. We want to do these tight ends justice, and I'll start. But you're getting a little bit of turbo around here. We're trying to finish up by like 35. We'll see how we do.
This is NFL Under Review, local experts on the biggest NFL stories.
The NFL Honors Awards Show was last week, and one surprise when it came to Defensive Player of the Year. This is Bear Motter with your Los Angeles Rams update from Locked On Rams. Aaron Donald would have been the first player in NFL history to win the award three straight years in a row, but it wasn't the case at the NFL Honors. That award this year went to Stephon Gilmore, and don't get me wrong, Stephon Gilmore had a great season. 6 interceptions, 18 pass deflected, 2 touchdowns. He had 53 total tackles. Stephon Gilmore won the award with 21 votes. Chandler Jones came in second with 14. TJ Watt with 10. Although Donald says this doesn't bother him, I see him putting this chip on his shoulder, working even harder, and coming back stronger in 2020, which is a scary thing for the rest of the NFL.
For more NFL news, subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast only on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Tight end 5 for me, Elise Mack, was really surprised when I turned on this guy's tape. He was one of the last two tight ends that I watched. Was fully prepared for Dax Raymond to be tight end 5. Mack, you know, he missed some time as far as eligibility. But if you read a lot of the stuff that's come out regarding Mack lately, it seems like he's kind of turned the corner as far as keeping himself in line. And I think he's really smooth. He ran 4.7 flat, so he's not like a true burner. But as a guy who's like 250 pounds, he's really smooth in the middle of the field. You think back to that Miami game in 2017, they got smacked down in Miami. Mack was the one that plucked that helmet off the defender's helmet in the end zone on a ball that he had no leverage on whatsoever. So he's got nice ball skills. He's had the opportunity to showcase it every once in a while. I mean, shoot, even going back to that time where they went up to Temple and Temple was ranked and Notre Dame was like a top 10 team. He had big plays in that game that went down to the wire too. So I think he hasn't had a chance to really showcase his receiving chops because of the quarterback situation at Notre Dame. And he's a good, not great blocker, but I think he does enough that he could be a player that gets some snaps early because he's comfortable with his hand in the dirt.
Number 5 for me, Cahal Warring from San Diego State. Love his tape, man. He's ready to block right now. You just tell he's just a natural athlete, played about a billion different sports in high school. He winds up walking on in 2015 to San Diego State after, I think, just 1 year of high school football. By 2017, he's a scholarship athlete. And, you know, he didn't have a ton of production, but you can just tell whenever he's targeted, there's just a natural athletic ability about him and the way that he runs routes and attacks the football. And I thought he was terrific at the combine. You just love his body composition. I just love everything about this player. I think that a team should take him in the top 75 and feel good about them having a potential starter there and being able to make an impact in every way that you want a tight end to contribute for a team.
Okay, so my tight end 4 is Jace Sternberger from Texas A&M. There was a period there in which I thought Jace might jump Irv Smith. Jace didn't test quite as well as I thought he would, so I went back and kind of rewatched his tape, and there were some foot races where he was giving up ground. But a lot of his chunk plays, he was wide open in the open field and was able to really make it count. My 56th overall player, love his ability to make catches against holes in zone coverage. A lot of toughness, where his quarterback threw him into zone coverage and he had to take a hit as he's making the catch. And he did that with success. And I think he's got a really exciting ability to navigate against zone and find soft spaces. But he's athletic enough where if you put him against linebackers and man-to-man coverage, he's going to cook you. So just be aware. He's got a little bit of nuance to his game as well as far as how he runs his routes and being able to sell breaks and creating that opportunity for him to get vertical and create separation. I think that's really where he's going to win as a guy who, if you get him matched up on the linebackers, he's going to tear him apart and get vertical and create chunk plays for you. So Jay Sternberger, he's a work in progress at the line of scrimmage, but I really, really like his receiving game.
Yeah, same for me at number four is Jay Sternberger. I think he gives great effort as a blocker, and I think he's got good technique. Just got to get a little bit stronger. Love his route running, separation quickness, can really challenge the seam. Him on those stick routes is pretty lethal. Love how secure his hands are. I mean, he'll catch the ball in a crowd and just seems like he's got really good concentration. I think he had a catch of 20 yards or more in 12 of 13 games this year for Texas A&M. So he gives you that big playability and wish he would have tested just a touch better, but I'm not all that concerned because I think his functional athleticism is very good. I think he'll be a quality player. He's my tight end four.
Tight end three for me, is Irv Smith. Irv Smith's actually up my board a little bit, Joe. I like him. 35th on my board. I think Irv is a player he's not overly explosive. And I think that's pretty apparent when he tries to press vertically up the field. He's kind of one speed the whole way. But that's fine because he is so good at the top of his routes that I think he's really able to compensate for not being able to explode off the snap and force defenders to give him space. He does a nice job when it comes time to make those breaks. Pretty reliable hands. He had the one catch against Georgia that kind of stood out in the middle of the field. But other than that, really, really reliable hands catcher. My question for Irv really is, you're 242 pounds. You're not overly explosive. You had good straight line testing. He ran well at the combine, but his explosiveness wasn't something he could hang his hat on. Are you going to be a guy that's flexed and moved around, or are you a guy that's going to play in line? Joe, I'm curious if you have any input here because I'm assuming he's also your tight end.
Yeah, he's my tight end three. And as the, I host the Lockdown Bills podcast, so I'm pretty engaged with Bills Mafia and their desire for a tight end and the Brian Daboll connections. And everyone's like, oh, better trade up in front of the Patriots at number 32 if we're going to get this guy. I don't think he's not like that, right? And I don't want to like start by talking down him because I think he's a really good football player. And I think he gives you contributions across the board. I love his ability to block, but does he have that second gear? You know, I didn't see it on tape and he didn't run all that well. And is he a guy that's going to be able to win those foot races? Does he give you that athletic ability that makes him a first round tight end? You know, I think that's what definitely a day two tight end. Think he's going to be a really good starter, but that his modest separation quickness, his lack of a true second gear limits him a little bit for me in terms of, all right, yeah, no, we don't need to be rushing and worried about moving back up into the first round to get this guy. Good football player. He's just not that special, if that makes sense.
Hold on, my producer's pulling something up real quick.
Oh, okay. Irv Smith Jr., tight end three. Solid player. Productive. In 2018.
I lost it with the jumps. I was sitting here trying to pull up Gerald Everett from South Alabama because they're like the same height, weight.
Yeah.
Right? Like Everett was like 239 and Irv was 242 and they both ran like 6'2 something in the 40. And Gerald went in the second round. So like that might be the kind of role and expectation. Everett was a little bit more explosive on his jumps and change of direction stuff than what Irv was. But other than that, like as a day two tight end, that's kind of my expectation for role and usage for Gerald Everett, because I don't think he's going to be a guy that really feasts and thrives at 242 pounds with his hand in the dirt. Tight end two for me, my 11th overall player in this year's draft class, TJ Hockenson from Iowa. I'm obviously buying high on not Noah Fant's receiving ability, but I'll talk about him in just a minute. Hockenson is the most NFL ready-made tight end. He can go to any team because he's comfortable with his hand in the dirt. You can't understate for rookie tight ends and young tight ends that leap that's required when you have to play in line in the pros versus doing it at the college level. Hockenson's really polished in those areas, and I think he will be perfectly fine doing so, which I think makes him a universal prospect that you don't have to make any concessions for, and that's going to really help his draft stock in a couple weeks.
My tight end, too, is from Iowa, but his name is Noah Fant. Really explosive guy, right? Like, I think he's going to be one of those true X factors, a guy that can win in line and from the slot, really give you, I mean, an insane athlete, but with really good ball skills. You saw him, you know, just kind of really dominate against top competition. And, you know, think about that Ohio State game. Was it in 2017? I mean, just unbelievably explosive. And I think just what, you know, the NFL is looking for, tight ends like this, guys that can move around, pace and space type offenses that are just going to give matchup problems. And Noah Fant, man, I think he's actually probably a little bit better blocker than some people give him credit for, but he's explosive. And I think that's just the best way to put it. And he gives you that the size element to go with it. He's going to be a problem. And so I think he'll first round grade for me. I have two first round grades, both the Iowa kids. And, you know, I'm not sure you couldn't convince me he's not tight end one, but we'll get into that here in a second.
I'm not going to try and change your mind, Joe. I respect your opinion. But if I'm looking at the upside on Noah Fant, who is my tight end one, this is a potential Jimmy Graham type target as far as his ability in the red zone, his ability in the middle of the field, his ability to stretch the field. But he is a guy that's going to come with more – what's the word I want to use? He has to go to the right team, right? Like, you can't draft an athletic guy like this, like what the Dolphins did last year with Mike Gesicki, who I think Fan is completely 10 tiers above Mike Gesicki as far as his caliber of a football player. But the Dolphins drafted Gesicki, who was a vertical flex tight end, and one out of every five plays, they asked him to stay in and pass block. You can't do that because you're going to set him up for failure. Fant is a player that if you get him the right coaching staff, the right quarterback, he's going to be a monster, and he's going to be unstoppable as far as his receiving chops and what he can do for a team. But if you try and make him something he's not, then he's going to fail to live up to expectations. I want to grade him on what he can do, which is why he is tight end one for me, because I think his impact in the game, the way the game is played now, in the right situation, can make more of a difference than Hockenson.
Interesting. I like TJ Hockenson as my tight end one. My kind of phrase that I always go to when I talk about Hockenson is that he gives you all those classic abilities of an inline tight end where he can block and win, you know, in the trenches. But then you get to that same dynamic upside as a modern day tight end where you could flex him out, use him in a variety of ways. He'll win after the catch. You know, maybe not quite the athlete Fant is, but I think he might be a little bit more balanced all around. And I think he's going to be a star. I think he's cut from that same cloth as a George Kittle, Travis Kelce type tight end. And, you know, I don't talk about tight ends as top 10 guys very often. I think that he's going to be a star. And so Hawk, tight end one, very excited about him.
Okay, so quick read through my list and then a day three guy I'd pound the table for. Fant, Hockenson, Smith, Sternberger, Mack are top five. Dax Raymond, I also have a third round grade, is six. Foster Moreau, seven. Kyle Waring is eight. Isaac Nauta is nine. Dawson Knox is 10. Tommy Sweeney, 11. Caden Smith, 12. Andrew Beck, 13. Drew Sample, 14. Trevon Wesco, 15. Zach Gentry, 16. Jerome Washington, 17. Josh Oliver, 18. Caleb Wilson, 19. Jake Powell from Monmouth is 20.
You're ripping through those Monmouth players this year, huh?
Listen, I was asked to do assessments for a potential agent.
I know.
Okay, I gotta do my job.
I know.
And listen, I'm not gonna write the report and then not put them in the book.
I don't blame you. If I write any report, I'd make sure it's published. Yeah,
I'm not trying to do any more than I have to.
How many reports are you up to now? Is it 2,000 yet? Have you written 2,000?
No. Over 6 years, I have done 1,830 scouting.
So you're gonna go two bills, or I don't even know if it's bills in the thousands. What are those?
Two G's. Next year, I'm going to go 2 G's. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you have to make that a special thing when you do.
Yeah, I'll have to keep track and remember who my 2000th written scouting report.
I'm happy for you.
Day three, got a pound the table for. Give me Tommy Sweeney from Boston College, like a low-key, really solid tight end. He's not built overly impressive. He's not a great athlete, but he's got great hands. I think he blocks pretty well. Coming out of Boston College, you know he's a guy that knows how to run block. But he had some really, really tough catches.
Yep.
And they tested his catch radius too, because they had some inaccurate passes there at BC. But I just came away really impressed. I'm like, this is definitely a pro player. He might not ever be a true like starter for you. But if I look at my guys that have day three grades, like Dawson Knox has incredible athletic potential, but you know, he was grossly underutilized at Ole Miss and it really put him behind as far as his football IQ. Tommy Sweeney, I know what I'm getting. I feel comfortable with him. He'd be a guy I would love to have as a second tight end on my roster.
He's going to play forever, right?
Yeah. You'll never get rid of him.
No, yeah. He's
a cockroach.
He's going to sign. And then in 6 or 5 years from now, he's going to sign like a 4-year, $15 million deal with some team. You know, he's always going to be around. All right. So my rankings in day three, pound the table guy, Hockenson 1, Fant 2, Irv Smith 3, Jay Sternberger 4, Cahal Waring 5, Dawson Knox number 6, Dax Raymond number 7, Foster Maurer 8, 9 is Josh Oliver, 10 Trayvon Wesco, 11 Tommy Sweeney, 12 Alize Mack, 13 Drew Sample, 14 Caden Smith, 15 Isaac Nauta, man, you're slow, 16 CJ Conrad, 17 Zach Gentry, 18 Caleb Wilson, you're fast but you can't play, 19 Andrew Beck, 20 Daniel Helm. My pound the table guy, I was a little surprised to see this guy so low on your list, Josh Oliver from San Jose State.
He sucks.
Yeah, battle boards is going to be good, folks. It's going to be good. So Josh Oliver doesn't actually suck. He's not going to be able to block.
He doesn't suck. No, but
he's not a great blocker. But I really like his ball skills and his athletic profile. And so, you know, I think you talk about a move tight end, a mismatch guy. He's really good at the catch point. He can win after the catch. I mean, he's got the juice that you're looking for to be able to create post catch. I mean, if you can overlook, you know, a guy that's just kind of lacking the functional strength to hold up as a blocker, and he needs to kind of speed up his whole process as a blocker, you just probably don't want him to block. And maybe that's what I'm trying to say here. But if you want a weapon, a bigger weapon that can separate and give you that size component, I think you can do worse than Josh Oliver on day three.
So he's a wide receiver.
Got it. Well, what is his weight? He's probably like close to 250, right?
I don't know. Let me.
He's a flex tight end. He's a flex.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that with Battle of the Board. Sounds like.
Yeah, sounds good.
Hope you guys enjoyed this. We're rounding the corner here, right around 40 minutes. So we cut a little time off versus yesterday, Joe. It's solid.
It's going to be 40 minutes we're going to talk about it every time.
No, we're going to get it down to 35. I feel good about Monday's show.
Offensive line, you don't have much to say?
No, I can keep it real brief. But I do need to wrap this in the next 30 seconds so we don't go over 40 minutes. So Kyle Krabs at Grinding Tape with Joe Marino at the Joe Marino. Make sure you hit subscribe. Give us your hot takes for next week's Takes on Takes with the hashtag Takes on Takes. Or if you're going to turn somebody in with the hashtag TattleTakes. Thanks for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast. Hope you guys have a great weekend. NFL Draft is right around the corner. Come back and see us again.